Ambangala Manuraria.
Yes, yes, yes.
29. YT is maxing in a mom's truck stop on 405, waiting for her ride. Not that she would ever be caught dead at a mom's truck stop. If, like, a semi ran her over with all 18 of its wheels in front of a mom's truck stop, she would drag herself down the shoulder of the highway, using her eyelid muscles until she reached a snooze and cruise full of horny derelicts rather than go into a mom's truck stop. But sometimes when you're a professional, they give you a job that you don't like, and you just have to be very cool and put up with it. For purposes of this evening's job, the man with the glass eye has already supplied her with a driver and security person, as he put it. A totally unknown quantity. YT isn't sure she likes putting up with some mystery guy. She has this image in her mind that he's going to be like the wrestling coach at the high school. That would be so gratendous. Anyway, this is where she's supposed to meet him. YT orders a coffee and a slice of cherry pie a la mode. She carries them over to the public street terminal back in the corner. It is sort of a wrap-around stainless steel booth stuck between a phone booth, which has a homesick truck driver poured into it, and a pinball machine, which features a chick with big boobs that light up when you shoot the ball up the magic fallopians. She's not that good at the metaverse, but she knows her way around, and she's got an address. And finding an address in the metaverse shouldn't be any more difficult than doing it in reality, at least if you're not a totally retarded ped. As soon as she steps out into the street, people start giving her these looks. The same kind of looks that people give her when she walks through the worsted wool desolation of the Westlake Corporate Park in her dynamic blue and orange courier gear. She knows that the people in the street are giving her dirty looks because she's just coming in from a shitty public terminal. She's a trashy black and white person. The built-up part of the street, around Port Zero, forms a luminescent thunderhead off to her right. She puts her back to it and climbs onto the monorail. She'd like to go into town, but that's an expensive part of the street to visit, and she'd be dumping money into the coin slot about every 1/10 of a millisecond. The guy's name is Ing. In reality, he is somewhere in Southern California. YT isn't sure exactly what he is driving. Some kind of van full of what the man with the glass eye described as
stuff. Really incredible stuff that you don't need to know about.
In the metaverse, he lives outside of town around Port 2, where things really start to spread out. Ing's metaverse home is a French colonial villa in the pre-war village of Mai To in the Mekong Delta. Visiting him is like going to Vietnam in about 1955, except that you don't have to get all sweaty. In order to make room for this creation, he has laid claim to a patch of metaverse space a couple of miles off the street. There's no monorail service in this low-rent development, so YT's avatar has to walk the entire way. He has a large office with French doors and a balcony looking out over endless rice paddies where little Vietnamese people work. Clearly this guy is a fairly hardcore techie, because YT counts hundreds of people out in his rice paddies, plus dozens more running around the village, all of them fairly well rendered and all of them doing different things. She's not a bithead, but she knows that this guy is throwing a lot of computer time into the task of creating a realistic view out his office window. And the fact that it's Vietnam makes it twisted and spooky. YT can't wait to tell Roadkill about this place. She wonders if it has bombings and strafings and napalm drops. That would be the best. Ing himself, or at least Ing's avatar, is a small, very dapper Vietnamese man in his 50s, hair plastered to his head, wearing military-style khakis. At the time YT comes into his office, he is leaning forward in his chair, getting his shoulders rubbed by a geisha. A geisha in Vietnam? YT's grandpa, who was there for a while, told her that the Nipponese took over Vietnam during the war and treated it with the cruelty that was their trademark before we nuked them and they discovered that they were pacifists. The Vietnamese, like most other Asians, hate the Japanese. And apparently this Ing character gets a kick out of the idea of having a Japanese geisha around to rub his back. But it is a very strange thing to do. For one reason, the geisha is just a picture on Ng's goggles and on YT's. And you can't get a massage from a picture, so why bother? When YT comes in, Ng stands up and bows. This is how hardcore street wackos greet each other. They don't like to shake hands because you can't actually feel the contact, and it reminds you that you're not even really there. "Yeah, hi," YT says. Ng sits back down, and the geisha goes right back to it. Ng's desk is a nice French antique with a row of small television monitors along the back edge, facing toward him. He spends most of his time watching the monitors, even when he's talking.
"They told me a little bit about you," Ng says.
"Shouldn't listen to nasty rumors," YT says. Ng picks up a glass from his desk and takes a drink from it. It looks like a mint julep. Globes of condensation form on its surface, break loose, and trickle down the side. The rendering is so perfect that YT can see a miniaturized reflection of the office windows in each drop of condensation. It's just totally ostentatious. What a bithead. He is looking at her with a totally emotionless face, but YT imagines that it is a face of hate and disgust. To spend all this money on the coolest house in the metaverse and then have some skater come in done up in grainy black and white? It must be a real kick in the metaphorical nuts. Somewhere in this house, a radio is going, playing a mix of Vietnamese loungy type stuff and Yank wheelchair rock.
"Are you a Nova Sicilia citizen?" Ng says.
"No, I just chill sometimes with Uncle Enzo and the other mafia dudes."
"Ah, very unusual."
Ng is not a man in a hurry. He has soaked up the languid pace of the Mekong Delta and is content to sit there and watch his TV sets and fire off a sentence every few minutes. Another thing, he apparently has Tourette's syndrome or some other brain woes because from time to time, for no apparent reason, he makes strange noises with his mouth. They had the twangy sound that you always hear from Vietnamese when they're in the back rooms of stores and restaurants, carry on family disputes in the mother tongue, but as far as YT can tell, they aren't real words, just sound effects. "Do you work a lot for these guys?" YT asks.
"Occasional small security jobs. Unlike most large corporations, the mafia has a strong tradition of handling its own security arrangements. But when something especially technical is called for..."
He pauses in the middle of this sentence to make an incredible zooming sound in his nose. "Is that your thing? Security?" Ng scans all of his TV sets. He snaps his fingers, and the geisha scurries out of the room. He folds his hands together on his desk and leans forward. He stares at YT.
"Yes," he says.
YT looks back at him for a bit, waiting for him to continue. After a few seconds, his attention drifts back to the monitors.
"I do most of my work under a large contract with Mr. Lee," he blurts.
YT is waiting for the continuation of the sentence. Not Mr. Lee, but Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong.
"Oh, well. If she can drop Uncle Enzo's name, he can drop Mr. Lee's." "The social structure of any nation-state is ultimately determined by its security arrangements," Ng says. "And Mr. Lee understands this."
Oh, wow, we're going to be profound now. Ng is suddenly talking just like the old white men on the TV pundit powwows which YT's mother watches obsessively.
"Instead of hiring a large human security force, which impacts the social environment, you know, lots of minimum wage earners standing around carrying machine guns, Mr. Lee prefers to use non-human systems."
Non-human systems. YT is about to ask him, "What do you know about the rat thing?" But it is pointless, he won't say. It would get their relationship off on the wrong foot, YT asking Ng for intel, intel that he would never give her, and that would make the whole scene even weirder than it is now, which YT can't even imagine. Ng bursts forth with a long string of twangy noises, pops, and glottal stops.
"Fucking bitch," he mumbles.
"Excuse me?"
"Nothing," he says. "A bimbo box cut me off. None of these people understand that with this vehicle, I could crush them like a pot-bellied pig under an armored personnel carrier."
"A bimbo box? You're driving?"
"Yes, I'm coming to pick you up, remember? Do you mind?
No, he sighs, as if he really does. YT gets up and walks around behind his desk to look. Each of the little TV monitors is showing a different view out his van. Windshield, left window, right window, rear view. Another one has an electronic map showing his position, inbound on the San Bernardino, not far away.
The van is under voice command, he explains. I removed the steering wheel and pedal interface because I found verbal commands more convenient. This is why I will sometimes make unfamiliar sounds with my voice. I am controlling the vehicle systems.
YT signs off from the metaverse for a while to clear her head and take a leak. When she takes off the goggles, she discovers that she has built up quite an audience of truckers and mechanics who are standing around the terminal booth in a semicircle listening to her jabber at Ing. When she stands up, attention shifts to her butt, naturally. YT hits the bathroom, finishes her pie, and wanders out into the ultraviolet glare of the setting sun to wait for Ing. Recognizing his van is easy enough. It is enormous. It is 8 feet high and wider than it is high, which would have made it a wide load in the old days when they had laws. The construction is boxy and angular. It has been welded together out of the type of flat, dimpled steel plate usually used to make manhole lids and stair treads. The tires are huge, like tractor tires, with a more subtle tread, and there are six of them, two axles in back and one in front. The engine is so big that, like an evil spaceship in a movie, YT feels its rumbling in her ribs before she can see it. It is kicking out diesel exhaust through a pair of squat, vertical red smokestacks that project from the roof toward the rear. The windshield is a perfectly flat rectangle of glass about 3 by 8 feet, smoke so black that YT can't make out an outline of anything inside. The snout of the van is festooned with every type of high-powered light known to science, like this guy hit a new South Africa franchise on a Saturday night and stole every light off every roll bar, and a grill has been constructed across the front, welded together out of rails torn out of an abandoned railroad somewhere. The grill alone probably weighs more than a small car. The passenger door swings open. YT walks over and climbs into the front seat.
Hi, she is saying. You need to take a whiz or anything?
Ing isn't there. Or maybe he is. Where the driver's seat ought to be, there is a sort of neoprene pouch about the size of a garbage can, suspended from the ceiling by a web of straps, shock cords, tubes, wires, fiber optic cables, and hydraulic lines. It is swathed in so much stuff that it is hard to make out its actual outlines. At the top of this pouch, YT could see a patch of skin with some black hair around it, the top of a balding man's head. Everything else, from the temples downward, is encased in an enormous goggle-slash-mask-slash-headphone-slash-feeding-tube unit held onto his head by smart straps that are constantly tightening and loosening themselves to keep the device comfortable and properly positioned. Below this, on either side, where you'd sort of expect to see arms, huge bundles of wires, fiber optics, and tubes run up out of the floor and are seemingly plugged into Ing's shoulder sockets. There is a similar arrangement where his legs are supposed to be attached, and more stuff going into his groin and hooked up to various locations on his torso. The entire thing is swathed in a one-piece coverall, a pouch larger than his torso ought to be, that is constantly bulging and throbbing as though alive.
Thank you. All my needs are taken care of, Ing says.
The door slams shut behind her. Ing makes a yapping sound, and the van pulls out onto the frontage road, headed back toward 405. Please excuse my appearance, he says after a couple of awkward minutes. My helicopter caught fire during the evacuation of Saigon in 1974. A stray tracer from ground forces.
Whoa. What a drag.
I was able to reach an American aircraft carrier off the coast, but, you know, the fuel was spraying around quite a bit during the fire.
Yeah, I can imagine. Uh-huh.
I tried prosthesis for a while. Some of them are very good. But nothing is as good as a motorized wheelchair.
And then I got to thinking, why do motorized wheelchairs always have to be tiny, pathetic things that strain to go up a little teeny ramp? So I bought this. It is an airport fire truck from Germany, and converted it into my new motorized wheelchair. It's very nice. America is wonderful because you can get anything on a drive-through basis. Oil change, liquor, banking, car wash, funerals, anything you want. Drive-through. So this vehicle is much better than a tiny pathetic wheelchair. It is an extension of my body. When the geisha rubs your back, Ing mumbles something and his pouch begins to throb and undulate around his body. She's a demon, of course. As for the massage, my body is suspended in an electrocontractive gel that massages me when I need it. I also have a Swedish girl and an African woman, but those demons are not as well rendered. And the mint julep? Through a feeding tube. Non-alcoholic. So, YT says at some point, when they are way past LAX and she figures it's too late to chicken out. What's the plan? Do we have a plan? We go to Long Beach, to the Terminal Island Sacrifice Zone, and we buy some drugs, Ing says. Or you do, actually, since I am indisposed. That's my job? To buy some drugs? Buy them and throw them up in the air. In a sacrifice zone? Yes, and we'll take care of the rest. Who's we, dude? There are several more, entities that will help us. What? Is the back of the van full of more, people like you? Sort of, Ing says. You are close to the truth. Would these be, like, non-human systems? That is a sufficiently all-inclusive term, I think. YT figures that for a big yes. You tired? Want me to drive or anything? Ing laughs sharply, like distant ack-ack, and the van almost swerves off the road. YT doesn't get the sense that he is laughing at the joke. He is laughing at what a jerk YT is.